They're always scraping those fingernails underneath there.
Ladies have already had mocks, have they?
Yes.
Well, not one.
Yeah, not all of them.
All set, huh?
Ready to go.
Yes.
Come back.
Right, yeah. So let's watch.
So.
I doubt it.
If I've been on the field, they should.
That's what it means, yes.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
I didn't think it was my turn.
I didn't know it was taking turns, but we were trying.
The Christmas.
So yes, take care of it. If I am here, it would take care of it. Now, oh, yeah.
There was a lot, and then those are the ones that we did, so.
We're going to our.
We're going to, but I can't find it, so maybe we can make another call. Oh, no, I'll put it in.
When?
I don't hear. The unconscious areas.
Are you going just because James wants you to go and be an idea or what? I'm just.
I'll try to decide, Ben.
Just take the line.
It must be downstairs.
I got it.
But here. I'm not gonna do.
You got all the authority, trust me.
Oh, well, that's fine.
We're gonna have a lot of fun, do you think? About the choice.
When I say it doesn't fly, it doesn't fly.
Keep it.
I'm sure.
Oh, my gosh, it's a lot better. Did you ever, have you seen the contact cards that I turned in?
A long time.
Yeah.
You have some news?
I turned one in a week or so ago, so.
What is, James, you know, who turned it?
Yeah, Jennifer Hughes.
Who?
Jennifer Hughes.
Good evening, everyone.
Good evening.
Our first song selection that we will sing this evening, All Hail the Power of Jesus' Name. This is song number 19, if you're following along in our hymnals. All Hail the Power of Jesus' Name, song number 19. Our next song selection is one that's not found in our books. That song title, Lord, Take Control. Really short song. We'll sing through this song twice in its entirety. And then after that, we will go to our God in prayer. Lord, Take Control. We'll sing this song and then we'll go to God in prayer.
My
let us pray. Our Father in heaven, again, we're thankful for the opportunity to meet here tonight. We're thankful for the many blessings you share with us. Father, there are many of our number that are not feeling their best and have weaknesses and have illnesses that could use your loving touch and healing powers. Father, if it be your will, please touch them where they need it. Help them to be able to be here with us. Father, please don't forget the folks that are here tonight. Help them to even though they may be struggling from time to time, help them to be able to heal and feel better as the night goes on. Father, we have a world today that sometimes isn't the nicest place to be. We pray that you will touch the leaders' hearts, help them to understand that we are all one people and that we all need to learn how to get along. Father, help these conflicts to end and peace to reign. Father, I'm also praying that this congregation can somehow put together a group of elders that can help to lead our congregation. Father, it's been a long time. We need to have some leadership that can help guide us to do the things and to grow the church like we need to do. Father, as we listen to our sermon tonight, help us to share that with the rest of this community that we live in. Help us to live that the way that you would want us to do so. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Our next song selection this evening, the title in our books, As the Deer Panteth for the Water. This is song 843 in our hymnals. As the Deer Panteth for the Water, song 843.
So my soul longeth after thee. You
If you would at this time mark the song of encouragement that we will sing later this evening, that number is 714. And that song titled Trust and Obey. Song number 714. At the appropriate time when we sing that song, we will sing verses 1, 3, 4, and 5. Skipping verse 2, 1, 3, 4, and 5. The song that we'll sing prior to our class this evening, Thy Word. This is song 895 in our hymnals. Thy Word, song 895.
Good evening.
Good evening.
We are at the tail end of 2 Timothy and the fourth chapter. And if you'd like to open your Bibles up to verse 18, we're going to finish the last three verses, or last few verses, and then I will introduce you to a study that at least we're going to do for the next few weeks. I'll tell you about more about that as we get there. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 18. I'm going to back up and read, start in verse 17, read 17 and 18, but we'll actually, we talked about 17, but I want to kind of put it together for context's sake. But the Lord stood with me and strengthened me so that the message might be preached fully through me and that all the Gentiles might hear. Also, I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. And the Lord will deliver me from every evil work and preserve me from his heavenly, preserve me for his heavenly kingdom. To him be glory forever and ever. Amen. Of course, Paul had been talking about as he finished up this book that he was at the end of his life. He knew he'd finished his work and completed that work that God had given him to do, and he was ready to go and meet God. But he says, you know, being in jail, he could have faced some really hard things, you know, could have faced some really difficult trials in his life. And so he might have seen some, or heard about and known about that there's some really heavy persecution against the church at this point in time. This probably was under the emperor of Nero when he was there, and so Nero was strongly persecuting Christians. But he says, the Lord is going to deliver me from every evil work. Isn't that good to know? That God will deliver us from every evil work? Is there any evil works going on in our world today? A lot, yeah, a lot of them are. And it's hard to think about it because we have to face those in our lives all the time. But to know that God will deliver us, we ask God to help us the strength. We ask God to help us through difficult times, through trials of life. I was talking to my brother in Christ in Ukraine, our tour that I have mentioned. I'm talking to him today over Messenger. And I was asking him about the bombing in the city. They don't live in far eastern Ukraine, but they still receive almost, not daily, but nightly, drones and missile attacks against their city. And I said, has any of them ever came close to you or your home or the church? And he said, no. But many times around 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning, we'll hear a big boom. And we'll wake up to it. And he says, it's probably maybe 5 or 6 kilometers away from us. But can you imagine every night? He says, once in a while, there's a day or two that we don't have any. And he says, it's kind of got so it's normal. Would you like to live in a normal situation like that? Paul lived in a normal situation like that, where they were strongly persecuting the Christians. You know, as far as we know, this is amazing. As far as we know, that there has not been one Christian died, except in war. There's been 3 or 4 that have died as soldiers in the war. But none have died as far as church members and so on throughout all of this war. So is God protecting his people? I would say yes. Well, Paul was being protected. He said he's preserving me for his heavenly kingdom. Whether we die from persecution, whether we die from old age, whether we die from bad health or an accident someplace, still God is preserving us for his kingdom. If we walk with him, he's saying, I've got you. I'm with you. I'll see you through. And Paul ends that verse by, to him be glory forever and ever. And I think that Paul was praising God even through the hardships that he faced and the evil world that he was living in. To give glory to God. Give glory to God. I think the thing is, and maybe I should face this in a question. How can we give glory to God through difficult times? How do we do that? When you have things that are going hard, how do you give praise or glory to God?
One way is to continue to pray and keep your faith.
Sure. The prayer is such an important part and aspect of that. And, of course, being faithful, keep the faith. Yeah.
Because when you have trying times, sometimes people have a hard time keeping their faith.
They do. Some people, when things go really hard or bad, they will blame God or things like that. I was recently visiting with Millie Keene, and she is in almost constant, pain and such, and she's lost a lot of family and friends lately. But you don't hear her doubting God one iota, not one moment. She's sad. She's hurting because of the losses that she's had. But that woman is a faithful child of God for sure.
I think you just have to look at the end.
That's right.
You know that whatever you're going through,
mm-hmm.
pain, hardship, whatever, if you have stayed faithful to God or returned to God, you have to look at that judgment day.
That's
what's
right.
What's going to happen? That you're going to be in God's arms, then that's what you got to hold on to.
Oh, that's right. That's so true. That's the best thing, the greatest thing that we can hold on to that carries us through.
You also need to share with others, because if you're the only person praying, there's a benefit to having everyone praying and everyone providing you with the support in that area of difficulty.
You know, I think that a part of what we do as Christians is sharing our faith through prayer, sharing our faith through everything. You see this number on the top over here? That's how many cards, is that, we're pretty up to date on that, you know, have sent out. You know, that's a pretty amazing. And by the way, while I'm thinking about it, there's more stamps in there now.
Yeah. We have 86 cards going out this past week.
This past week, yeah. And we did a lot of those cards were prayer cards for people.
Yes.
You know? And so I think that just was really important too. Yes, James.
In line with what Stacy was saying there, Paul writes in Romans chapter 8, verse 18, he says, "For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which should be revealed in us." So if you want to start comparing things, right, you want to compare the bad that you're dealing with now versus the good that you're going to receive later, no comparison. Is what
yeah.
It says with
Paul
that.
Talks about that a lot, doesn't
right.
he?
Right.
He talks about that a lot.
So,
there's no comparison.
It's not like you get a little bad now and a little good later, and you get a little bad now and a lot of good later.
Right.
Yeah,
that's right. A lot
of
good later. Yes, David.
And he says that after he says this and of the thing, you know, here's what he's comparing. In 2 Corinthians chapter 23, or chapter 11, verse 23 and all. Are they servants of Christ? I am out of my mind to talk like this. I am more. I've worked much harder, been in prison more frequently, been flogged more severely. This is the NIV. And been exposed to death again and again. 5 times I received from the Jews 40 lashes minus one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. 1 I was pelted with stones. 3 I was shipwrecked. I spent a night and day in the open sea. I've constantly been on the move. I've been in danger from rivers, in danger from bandits, in danger from my fellow Jews, in danger from the Gentile, in danger in the city, in danger of the country, in danger at sea, in danger from false believers. So, gone without sleep, all those things, you know. Yet, he counts that as a small thing compared to the glory that's waiting.
That's right. You know, and Paul, I think we have to understand that Paul dealt with a lot of the emotional past as we did also. And for in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, he says, verse 5, "For just as the sufferings of Christ are ours in abundance, so also is the comfort is abundance through Christ. But if we are afflicted, it is for your comfort and salvation. If we are comforted, it is for your comfort." Let's see this. I want to go down a little bit farther. For verse 8, "For we do not want you to be unaware, brethren, of our affliction, which came to us in Asia, that we were burdened excessively beyond our strength, so that we despaired even of life. Indeed, we had the sentence of death within ourselves, so that we would not trust in ourselves, but in God who raised us from the dead." And he goes on to talk about the hope that we have. So Paul felt this. He shared it over and over again. And it's amazing what God has done. And I mean, Paul suffered through emotional struggles too. You know, I despaired even of life, he talks about. And yet he says, "But I know that God is with me." So this is just, I mean, to me, it's a great strength that we have these words from the Apostle Paul about these things. Good. Anyone else before we move on? These are good thoughts.
Did you talk about the lion last week?
We did. We talked about it, but we can talk about it.
Yeah.
No, what's your thoughts on it?
Well, I don't think it's probably a literal landing, although it could be. I mean, I think it's just, you know, a metaphor for the problems that he was facing. And you know, when you're in the, if I'm in the mouth of a lion, you know, my hopes of rescue are probably pretty slim in that moment. And I think maybe that same type thing was there. He said, you know, no one stood with him in his first defense. He was all alone, had nothing there but his faith in God to deliver him. And maybe he said something like that last week.
We talked, that's what James behind you was saying. I think it's probably, I feel like it was, we don't know whether it was literal or if it's figurative here. But we know that Nero at this time was throwing Christians to not lion's den, but in the arena with lions.
That's true.
So he made, because he talked about, "Lord, delivered me from every evil thing." So I don't know. It could be, I mean, definitely, you say, we talk about being safe from the lion, you know, from the lion's den, that type of thing, but I think God could have delivered him just like he did Daniel. But this is the only place that it mentions a lion. It doesn't mention this in any other list of things that he says that he went through.
The reason I thought it was a metaphor when I wound up last week is because everything David just read.
Yeah.
Those were all bad things. You could be, and that's the reason I thought it was a metaphor, because of the simple fact that all the bad things that Paul had to go through.
But this is written after, this is written after 2 Corinthians would have been written. Because Paul was still on his mission journeys when he wrote 1 and 2 Corinthians. And this is after he was been in prison for a considerable time. So, that doesn't matter.
I say, like many things in the Bible, whether it's a figurative or illustrative thing for us to learn, or a actual
event,
step-by-step account of something, mm-hmm. the lesson is there, right?
Right.
Right.
The lesson's there.
Exactly. And that's why I'm saying that it's amazing one way or the other.
But
you know?
It could be something like, you know, if you were pronounced judgment, I'm going to throw you to the lions, you know, and then God says, okay, you know, we're going to have them be pardoned or some kind of major escape or something like that. You escaped the mouth of the lion.
That's
know?
Right.
You know, that kind of thing. You know, if you were going to be executed the next day by beheading, well, I escaped the guillotine or the executioner's sword or something like that. That would be a figure of speech. But if you were getting ready to be suffering that, but avoided it because of God's intervention, then you still escaped the mouth of the lion, the executioner's sword,
and not even having to go into
whatever
the
else it was going to be that you were going to suffer. Right. So that's another way to think about it. But again, whether it be literal or figurative, it matters not. The lesson is the same.
That's right. I appreciate that. Very good. All right, let's read the last verses here, 19 through 22. Greet Priscilla and Aquila. We know them, right?
Yes.
And the household of Onesiphorus. Erastus stayed in Corinth, but Trophimus I have left in Miletus sick. Do your utmost to come before winter. Eubulus, don't you love these names? Greets you as well as Pudens, Linus, Claudia, and all the brethren. The Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Grace be with you. Amen. Of course, he's sending greetings to those that he loves and cares for, has worked with. And verse 21, do your utmost to come before winter. Well, that makes sense, right? You know? Winter's harder to travel. I need to see you. I need to, he asked for, you know, earlier he asked for, you know, the coverings and the books and so on. And of course, the last thing that he says is a blessing to Timothy. The Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Grace be with you. Amen. May the Lord be with you. You know, just, Paul was always thinking about other people. Always thinking about others as he went about his work and his life and his mission. Any ending thoughts that you'd like to share from this book? Okay, I'm going to change direction. Like I said, it may be just for a few weeks. This week and next week anyway, I plan to do this. So I'm going to pass you out these sheets and then I'll explain what I'm talking about.
Three, you want one for yourself? Okay, there's three. 20, so you know there's more than 20 people here.
Okay. Several years ago, I sat in a class called Praying Through the Psalms. And I had a book, but I don't have that book anymore. But I have done it from time to time in my life. Not just the Psalms, but sometimes other scriptures. Maybe you have too. You read a passage and it touches your heart and you talk to God about that passage. And by the way, the italicized heavy print here is my thoughts on this, and we'll share that as we go along. But I found great benefit from it, and sometimes we get away from things that we've done in the past that have been good for us. And it was really good. It was like at a seminar, and it was like 3 or 4 classes, and so, and again, the author had his book there and what he did and how he suggested it. And I want you to know right now, we're not going to pray through all 150 chapters of Psalms, all right? That would take us a long time to get through. But I want to be as an illustration for you, and an illustration for you to maybe go deeper into your Bible study, because you can do this nearly in any text that you read. God, you read it, and you know that God is speaking to us through that, right? And you can turn and respond to God by what you read. It opens up the communication more than we sometimes do. And Psalms is a good one because a lot of it is, of course, it's poetry, and it's written for us and our benefit. And so what we'll do tonight as we go ahead with this, and what I would suggest, this is just my suggestion, know that we're going to do Psalms, at least Psalms chapter 2 next week also. I would suggest that you get your Psalms out and maybe a paper and write your own. And we can talk about and share those. And as we go through here, you might have a different thought than what I had about how I suggested. And these are just suggestions. I'm not telling you how to pray. Okay? But I'm telling you that, showing you how I have done this, at least through this first chapter of Psalms. Any comments or questions before we start? Okay, let's do this first. Let's read it as, without the highlights, through the first two verses of Psalms. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the paths of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. So, as I take this thought by thought, blessed is the man. Dear Lord, I need to ask for your blessings. That's what he's saying, blessed is the man. And so, Lord, what I would say in my thoughts here is, Lord, I need and ask for your blessings. Blessed is the man. God bless me. I need it. Your blessings, dear Lord. I will kind of try to finish by sentence, and so I will read the next part of this sentence. Who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. Help me not to walk in the counsel of the ungodly, but to walk in your counsel and guidance. Is anything there that you'd like to add to those verses right now, those thoughts of prayer? Ask God to bless you?
Yeah, because you don't think about that too much.
Yeah.
You're asking for other people. But, yeah, I think that's good.
You know, I started by writing on, Dear Lord, we need and ask for your blessings. But then I changed it. I wanted to make it more personal, more personal. And one of the things about the Psalms is David and the other psalmists a lot of times talk to God or about God in ways that we normally don't. It gets pretty deep sometimes, Anyone else as that through that first verse?
Well, the next part, who, you know, you could help me not walk in the counsel of the ungodly. I would probably modernize that language a little bit. Help me not to listen to the advice or teachings of sinful people.
That's right. That's good. You see, this is why I encourage you, for example, to write your own next for next week's class.
Help me not to be influenced by the evil people around me. Help me not to be influenced by their ways, their teachings.
Well, I mean, like Paul, we just read about, you know, he was thanking God that God preserved him through the evil of his world.
That'd been a good prayer for Lot to be praying all the time.
For what?
For Lot.
Yeah. Well, he was surrounded by it, wasn't he?
Yeah,
he was surrounded by it. Very good. Very good. We take it for granted sometimes, I think, that we know that God's going to take care of us, right? We know that he's going to bless us. But why do we pray? Why do we pray? God knows our thoughts and our minds. Why do we pray?
He wants us.
What?
He wants us to
pray.
He wants us to talk to him.
Yeah, it's like he wants us to talk to him. I like that's right.
Why? It helps us to condition our thought processes in line with his will also,
that's,
right?
That's the issue.
Because you know when we just are left to our own thoughts, maybe our own thoughts won't line up perfectly with God's, but when we make ourselves pray, then we start to become more spiritual in nature, and you know, our whole demeanor changes, our whole person becomes more of what God expects.
That's right. That's really good. It's true. David?
I read something. It was from an article. It was very short, and it was not by a Christian, but someone who's a Christ believer, and it was a lady, and I thought it was very good, though. She said that she used to think that she would pray and God would change things. And she recognized that when she's praying, it was helping change her.
Mm.
I thought that was pretty good.
Yeah.
You know, that's what you're talking about. You know, help me to be, you know, changed. You know, God doesn't need us, we need God.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And when I pray for his will, then mine becomes a lot less important. And so I learned to, that'll, you know, help me to change the things I can, help me to...
The courage did not...
Courage to accept the things I can't.
Know the difference.
Know the difference, right? Yeah. You know, so it prayer is meant to change us, really. If we're praying for God's will to be done, then we have to be more accepting of our circumstances and the things that we suffer, like Paul did.
There's a song, little by little and every day, little by little and every way, God is changing me. And I think the more that we talk to God about, change me, Lord, help me to be a better person, the better off we are. Okay, I'm sorry, what's that?
Make my heart, my conscience clean,
mm-hmm.
Give me strength, help me to accept disappointments with steadfastness that Christ did, those kind of things.
Well, that one song we sang tonight was about that. Mm-hmm. That was about that. The second part of verse 1, nor stand in the path of sinners. Help me always walk in your path as we know it is the only way to walk. Walk, we might say, maybe also, help me to walk in the light as you're in the light, like 1 John chapter 1 and verse 7 says. Help me to walk in your light. Nor sits in the seat of scorners, scornful. Help me not be scornful, but always to be thankful. It's really easy to find criticism of people, you know, to be critical of them for what they're not. And then we have to look at ourselves and say, help me not to be like that, but to be thankful. How many times does it say in the New Testament to be thankful, to rejoice always, to give thanks without ceasing, things like that?
I think the opposite of scornful would be compassionate.
Okay, good.
Scornful is a person who points a finger.
Right.
Compassionate one who reaches out with a helping hand.
Well, I'll tell you what, next week I'm going to bring my pen along because I like some of these thoughts you guys are sharing.
We can ask ourselves the question when we read this verse, you know, who walks in the counsel of the ungodly? The ungodly.
Yeah.
Who stands in the path of sinners? Sinners. Who sits in the seat of the scornful?
The scornful.
The scornful, right? They're there already. They're occupying that seat. Mm-hmm. And if we're occupying that seat, then likely we're scornful also.
Yeah. I don't want to right? not be sitting in the same seat there.
That's right.
Yeah. Don't let me be counted among them.
One of the things, and I like this thought, realize that when you're reading the Psalms and the poetry, that what they're doing, they don't rhyme, of course, but what they do is they restate in the second part of the verse oftentimes. They'll make the statement and they'll repeat a statement with different words, if you will. Like what you're saying here, walk in the counsel of the godly, not stand in the state of sinners, sit in the scornful. See, what he's doing is that he is restating those words and the thoughts again with a different perspective, but with a similar idea.
Talking about not finding that. In one of my video feeds, a lot of judge shows up, and I see a lot of those things, especially sometimes one of the defendants will say something like, well, I got mixed up with the wrong crowd. And one of the judges I watch a lot doesn't take that very well. She says, I bet if I ask the parents of the other boys you were involved in, they'd tell me the same thing about your son, about you. You know, if I'm in the council of the scornful, if I'm in their path, in their seat, I'm one of them too.
Mm-hmm.
I'm one of them too. I'm just as guilty of influence. I'm a sinner, or I'm a sinner. I'm a ungodly. I'm a scornful person. I'm influencing. You know, well, I'm witnessing the scornful. Well, I'm making them more scornful just as much as they're making me more scornful, mm-hmm. more scoundrels, or whatever. You know. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, Psalms is sort of written in prose, and a lot of times it uses like something called antithesis, where it gives you something negative with something.
It does that too, yeah.
So it's telling you this is how you shouldn't behave, and then on the opposite end, just usually right before or right after, you'll say this is how you should behave.
Well, that's what verse two does here for us. Verse two, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. May I always delight in your word and way. Again, the idea of rejoicing in the Lord always. And in his law, he meditates day and night. Guide me in my meditation as we read and live your word day and night. I don't know if we meditate very much. I think I know some people that spend a lot of time in meditation, and not like Asian meditation, but Christian meditation. And I think meditation means to think on these things. And you know, delight in his word, help me to, or give me my meditation, help me to think on these things with you as I read and live your word day and night. As we talk about praying, you know, it talks about in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, to pray without ceasing. I think that we don't pray every word, every thought that we go about each day. But we have this in us all the time, day and night, as he talks about here. Any thoughts on verse 2 before we go on? Okay, verse 3. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water and bring forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. And I didn't know exactly how to do this, but This is kind of the thought I had with that. Help me plant my life in you so that I might have true prosperity and purpose found in you. And when I say prosperity, I mean that I might prosper in Christ, that I might benefit in Christ. Sometimes in the Old Testament, it was more of a physical nature. God, I know, like Lot, that he felt like, not Lot, Lot, like he had his, all the goods and wife and children, right? And lost them?
Job,
thank you, I knew just it wasn't coming right. But Job, you know, and when God restored him, what did he restore him? More than what he had before.
Let me take a crack at that.
Go ahead, I like it.
Okay. Help my soul to be rooted in your word and in your will, that I might bring forth fruit for your kingdom.
That's really good. Like I said, I wish I had a pen with me. So bring your pens with you next time, not only to write some things out for chapter 2, but also do it for chapter 3 as well. All right, we're going to stop at verse 4. People are coming up. And so we'll pick it up in verse 4 and then go on into chapter 2. Thank you for sharing tonight, because, I don't know, this enhances my life. I hope it enhances your prayer life as we go on. James, I had a question. When you were teaching, when I wasn't here, were you teaching Titus? Did I understand that right? On Wednesday nights? Did you get all the way through Titus, or
I did.
You did? Okay. I was thinking about, you weren't here last week, but I was going to go from 2 Timothy to Titus, but I got to thinking that you had already really covered Titus recently. Okay. So as we think about that God is with us, we want to do what God wants us to do. The Apostle Paul was uncompromising in his commitment and his faith to the Lord, that he wanted to do everything that God wanted him to do, and he trusted in him all through his life. I fought the good fight, I have kept the faith, and he said, even though I suffer, you know, I know that God will be with me to the end and take me home. And that's where we want to be. We want to be home with God forever and know that heaven is waiting for us, and that Jesus one day is going to come and take us home to be with him there. And I hope that every one of us today that are sitting here know that we can come home and be with God. If you need to come to him, if you need prayers, you need strengthening, you can come forward as we stand and sing.
When we walk with the Lord in the light of his word, what a glory he sheds on our way. While we do his good will, he abides with us still, and with all who will trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey.
For the fear.
In a moment, we'll go to our God in prayer. Before we do, we want to take an opportunity for announcements. We want to remember those that are on our prayer list, starting with our sick and our shut-ins of our congregation, as Doug was mentioning about Millie Keene and the struggles that she has. And of course, we know that Naoma was dealing with some things on Sunday and was not able to be here with us. Sherry is not with us this evening. We miss her, and we miss all of our number when they can't be here. So let's remember them. Let's look around and see who's not with us, and let's do our best to encourage them to remember their name in our prayers. Stay focused on our evangelistic efforts, on the contact cards and the good work that we're doing with that. You had something, David?
On that, it just makes me think Stacy's trying to send out some of those cards, and there have been some people turning in contact cards, and it doesn't do a great job because it doesn't have a place for you to put your name. Yeah. But we need everyone who's turning in contact cards to put their name on it, because we want to know, hey, we know that you're a neighbor of so-and-so, or you're a co-worker of so-and-so, or you're a friend of so-and-so. And so we're sending these cards out with no
context.
Reference.
Yeah.
No context of it. So we need to be more personal when we're putting in these cards. Tell us who they are. Tell us your relationship. Give us a background story. That kind of thing. So we're going to make these cards. We're not just sending a card out that says, from the Harrisburg Church Christ.
Right.
That's not going to, you might as well throw a stamp on it. You just might as well throw a stamp on it for that. So we need to make them more personal. And also from Georgia gave me this note. She said, I saw Clayton's wife, Sharon, yesterday, and she told me that Odell and Clayton both have COVID.
Oh,
that's
no.
Why they're not with us tonight, so.
Have COVID?
COVID.
And I shook Odell's
hand
yesterday.
I shook yours tonight.
Team 2 is supposed to be Sunday. The Miller clan will be out of town this weekend, so I will have your cards ready for you on Wednesday.
Some of our number are going to the Cincinnati area on the weekend, right? Friday, Saturday. Yeah. So let's pray that they have safe trip, those who are going, and that they enjoy themselves and make it back to be with us, can tell us all about it. We are scheduled for our fellowship meal and our men's business meeting on Sunday. So need to plan to be there for that and support that if you're physically able. Is there anything further that we need to make known? Would you bow with me? Righteous God Almighty, our Creator and our Father, we're so thankful, Father, for your mercy. We're thankful, Father, for your patience. We know, Father, that you bless and provide for us in countless ways. Your benevolent nature, Father, is what we want to imitate. We want to be, Father, like you are. We want to put your ways first in our lives, to follow that great example, that perfect example that Christ Jesus set for us, and to be better examples for one another, to be more humble, to be more faithful, to just glorify you in all of our being, Father. We're mindful, Father, of your word and thankful for an opportunity to come together and study it on a midweek study as we had tonight. We're thankful, Father, for the truth found therein, and we're thankful for it has its influence in our lives. Help us, Father, to gain a better understanding when we study here together. Help us, Father, to recognize the opportunities that we have away from our assembly and not waste those opportunities as well to study, to show ourselves approved in your message of truth. Father, we're mindful of all of our number that are not able to be with us. First, we want to keep in mind those that are on our prayer list, Father, for the Collins family and dealing with the passing of our sister Kay. We know what a huge impact she was in their lives, and she was in our lives also. We miss her now that she's gone, And we don't want to miss them. We want to see them, and we want to encourage them and support them and do whatever we can, Father, to help them receive strength from you. Father, for our shut-in members, we want to make mention of Jack and Millie Keene, of Rose Beattie, of Evelyn Belt, of Catherine Wright, of Judy Mayberry, and others as well, Father, that might be struggling with some things recently. Father, we missed our sister Naomi and Dustin on Sunday, and we pray that they can be back with us soon. Father, just help us to reach out to one another always, Father, to realize our obligation is to each other. And in doing so, Father, we're serving you. Father, we're just blessed in countless ways, and we don't want to take any of those blessings for granted. We don't want to waste their use, but to use them for your glory and honor always. Father, we are just so encouraged by your patience towards us, Father. We're not everything that we need to be. We're often not even what we want to be, Father. We let our selfishness separate us from you and to let sin become a part of our lives. We pray that we'll be more faithful in our prayer lives, that we'll be just better encouragers of one another, that we'll look out for each other, to be our brother's keepers and to be kept by our brothers and sisters as well. Father, we ask for your forgiveness. We ask for your mercy. We ask for you, Father, to just lift us up and help us to be strong. Guide us and protect us. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.